I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. A new book. It is a travelogue. It is a philosophical debate about the state of Israel and the West Bank and Palestinian-Israeli relation today, right now, tonight, tomorrow. Catch the Jew. That's the English translation. Tovia Tenenbaum is the author. He joins me in my studio. This is a sensation selling in Israel right now in Hebrew. It is a sensation selling in Germany right now in German. And it is introducing itself to the United States, to America, because Tovia can do all three countries. He is born in Israel. He has spent many professional years writing as a German journalist, and he spends his time in New York as well, where he has very happy citizenship. So he's all three of these things. And part of the joy of this book is, while Tovia spends 6 months or more in Israel and in the West Bank, living and talking and in Jordan, traveling around the region, he says variously, depending upon his audience, I'm a German, I'm a Jew, and he can claim that he's a Muslim because he has his Arabic. Remember, he was born in Israel. And pretty much he can be a space cadet anytime to great laughter. It's a pleasure to welcome Tovia Tenenbaum to my studio. Tovia, I take you
Thank
immediately.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it, and a lot to the listeners.
Yes.
Thank you for being with us.
And this is Tovia, the German Jewish American. All right, so we go to the office of the president, Shimon Peres. One night, you were invited because you have a press pass and you are a journalist in good standing with the IDF and with other security forces because Israel is a very careful about journalists. You attend a dinner, a sit down dinner, at the president's office of the president of Israel. You're in Jerusalem for this. His name is Shimon Peres. He's world famous. He's associated with peace. Who else is at the dinner, and what do you learn about the attendance that night?
Yeah, this is one of the most bizarre evenings. Basically, this was iftar dinner. This is for the end of the Ramadan, and the president of Israel, of the state of Israel, is inviting American and European and journalists, foreign journalists, to come and join him as he does the meal after Ramadan, which is called iftar. And he said, his office says, that this will be in the presence of ambassadors, of leaders of the Arab community, boom, 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 of great people, leaders. And the idea was to show our Arabs and Jews can get so well, our Muslim and Jews, Arabs and Israelis get so well, that the leaders of the Arab community, of the Muslim community, have come to the president's home to together break fast with him and have the iftar. And so I am coming. I couldn't, you couldn't pass something like this, right? I mean, I never knew it's so beautiful and so lovely and so peaceful in Israel. And here Shimon Peres says it is. So I came. I looked for the ambassadors. I looked for the leaders of the community. I looked for all of them. And the funny thing is, they tell the journalists, they put them in a separate table. So you can just see. You cannot be part of it. But I decided, hello, I have to be part of it. I want to see. I want to talk to ambassadors. So I joined the tables. I joined the tables who are supposed to be leaders. They are not really leaders. The biggest one who is a leader is an Arab guy, an Arab Israeli, and who comes and I ask him, what's your name? And he tells me his name is Obama.
Obama. Obama. He says his name is Obama.
It's Barack Obama.
you naturally say so, yeah, Obama, like the president?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is like, it turns out he's like, a stand-up comedian or whatever, something like that. I don't know what exactly he is. This is the highest authority on the Arab sector, basically, that showed up at this party. It was funny, but it was also saddening. I mean, this president, this Shimon Peres, world famous, as you said, lives in an illusion of his own creation. He imagined that foreign ambassadors are coming, that leaders of the Arab communities in the region and in Israel have come to join him, breaking fast with him on iftar. This was a joke, a sad joke.
A land of imagination. Hold on to that, because we're going to travel in this land of imagination. Tovia is our guide. The book is Catch the Jew, and we now go to what looks to be the other side of the story. Tovia, who is General Jibril Rajoub?
Major General Jibril Rajoub is one of the leaders of the Palestinians, of the Palestinian government. His exact title used to be the Chief of Preventive Security. His title now is the head of the Palestinian Olympic Committee. How many Palestinian Olympics? It's just a way for him to get money. Basically, he's the spy master of Palestine, so to speak.
He's in the West Bank.
Yeah,
where he belongs to Fatah, which is the organization associated PLO. With the Palestinian Authority.
And he's there.
He's a very powerful figure, as Shimon Peres is very powerful.
Yeah, he's extremely powerful. I remember one day I asked him, why is Mahmoud Abbas the president and not you? You are charismatic. He's amazingly charismatic. Right. You are charismatic. You are smart. You are funny. And Abbas is, he's like very boring character. And he says to me, Jibril says to me, I am a kingmaker. I put him there. Let him deal with the troubles.
He was extremely accommodating to you, and he gave you open access to where he lives, which is, I take it, a place I've never been, a fabulous German-run hotel.
Yeah, it took me many places. For one reason or another, he believed my story that I am a German, original German, German-German, meaning a Nazi, from his perspective,
Yes, a detail here. You will hear this much. Whenever Tuvia is asked where he's from or who he is, he says the magic words to the Arab side, I am a German and all doors
Toby
open.
Toby the German. Toby in Alemania.
Yes.
Toby the German. And it works. And it works. And he bought my... I couldn't believe that he bought it. One day I remember it was at his home in Jericho. And he says to me, in front of the people, he points his hands at me and he says, his finger at me and he says, Toby, from this day on, you are no longer Toby. And guess what? And then he continues and he says, from this day on, your name is Abu Ali. In Arabic, literally it means the father of Ali. But in folklore, it means the courageous, the esteemed, the respected. This is a title bestowed by the Palestinians also on Adolf Hitler.
So
I started as a German and I ended up as an Austrian.
You become Tuvia the Arabian here.
Tuvia the Arabian.
Yes, and this is a measure of the generosity of Shimon Peres and Major General Jibril Rajoub. We're talking about real-time events here.
Of course.
Both sides are extremely well-informed, educated. They read each other's headlines.
Yeah.
And you're going back and forth in order to discover what is the story being told to the people of Palestine, to the people of Israel, that maintains this tension, this anxiety.
Exactly. You have to understand, Jibril Rajoub, like many other of the PLO that I met, are recognized by the Americans, by the Europeans, very moderate.
Right.
Jibril is supposed to be very, very moderate. He is the epitome of moderate Palestinians as opposed to the Hamas. And Jibril says to me one day, he says to me, if Hitler came out of his grave and he looked at the Jews and he saw the Jews, he wouldn't believe it. Even Hitler didn't know how bad the Jews are. this is the moderate Palestinian.
We've now established the mystery. Inside what we've told you right now is a revelation, and you will find it in Catch the Jew. Tuvia Tenenbaum, or Toby of Arabia, with me right now.
Abu Ali.
Yes. When we come back, what was he doing there, and what does he discover? And we'll begin with the organization called KAS, K-A-S. I'm John Batchelor. This is The John Batchelor Show. I'm John Batchelor. This is The John Batchelor Show. Tuvia Tenenbaum. His new book is Catch the Jew. That's the English translation. In German, it is
Allein unter Juden. And in Hebrew, it is Tfos Yehudi, which means Catch the Jew. Allein unter Juden means alone among the Jews. And the original book, I mean, the book was originally written in English.
Right.
The Hebrew and the German are translations.
It is a bestseller in Israel. If you're curious, you can read it in English now. It is a bestseller in Germany. So it's a simultaneous bestseller in both those cultures, which have an intimate relationship. I learned from Tuvia, 70 years after the end of the war, after the destruction of the Reich, after the beginning of the rebuilding and the miracle of modern Germany, and then all these years after the fall of the Soviet Union and the reuniting of the German people, Germany is in Israel. It's in Palestine. It might even be Germany. I don't know. Tuvia, let's go to one of the NGOs that you speak to, and then we'll speak to how many there are. What is KAS, K-A-S?
KAS is Konrad Adenauer Stiftung. In other words, it's Konrad Adenauer Foundation.
Right.
This is in Germany. Every party in the parliament has a foundation. They get money from the German government, of course, from taxes.
Taxes.
You know, and they make foundations and they spread their message. And Konrad Adenauer, just so you know, Konrad Adenauer is the CDU. This is the party of Angela Merkel. We are not talking about left-wingers here. We are talking about conservatives.
Every political party has...
Like the Linke, the left...
Has money has to establish foundations.
Yeah.
And these are what we call, in Israel, NGOs.
Yeah, they are NGOs, yeah.
NGOs, even though it is government money.
Yeah, but all NGOs, this is what you have to understand, NGOs, European NGOs, unlike American NGOs, you want to make an NGO here, you are not going to go to Uncle Sam to ask him for money.
Right.
You go to try to find some rich boy or rich girl in Wall Street who will support you.
Right.
In Europe, nobody is going to support you for NGO. You make your NGO, you get your money from the government.
So KAS...
So European NGOs and foundations are basically government money.
KAS has deniability. We're an independent outfit. But their money entirely comes from the German taxpayer.
Exactly.
You visit the head of KAS in Israel.
Yeah.
You go to his office. You sit down with him. Yeah. What do you learn about their ambitions?
What I've learned, I came to him after I have been with KAS. I have seen what they are doing. I participated in what they are doing.
Yes, we will go on that bus trip in just a moment.
We're doing, and then I came to him after that to ask him, why in God's name are you doing what you are doing? Because what I found was very horrifying. I could not believe it.
And he said to you?
I'm very disappointed with your questions.
Right.
You know,
are you sure you're a journalist?
You are hurting me.
Right, right.
And it's like, you know, it's like, and why are you asking me this question?
Did you speak in German?
Are you a right winger? No, I spoke to him in English.
Oh, I see. Did he know you had the German?
He knows he's one of the people, you know, well versed, obviously. You're talking about this kind of people, the head of KAS.
He reads
the Zeit. I write for the Zeit, and the Zeit is like the New York Times
So
Germany.
He knows KAS is a very powerful NGO.
Yeah, yeah,
it is not the most powerful. We'll meet that a little bit. My Swiss brethren
and I
want to be speaking later on with
we'll
you.
Speak on that,
One of the joys of Tuvia's book is that he's anything he wants to be when people ask him in Israel. And whether it's credulity or whether everybody gets used to the fact that there are a lot of strangers wandering around, they will believe anything Tuvia says. You go on a bus trip. That's where I discovered KAS for the first time. You get on a bus, but you can't cross at one bridge. You have to go 9 hours up the Jordan River Valley to cross at another bridge.
Yeah.
These are the rules of two countries that are now allied, Jordan and Israel.
Yeah.
But the
Jordan
rules
will not allow people who don't have a visa to cross to Allenby Bridge or King Hussein
Bridge,
which is
close to Jerusalem.
Well, okay, it's like, you know, it's like a few minutes, half an hour. You are there, whatever you go.
They make you go 9 hours.
They
north.
Make you go because you don't recognize Israel. It's a long spiel.
Yes,
it's 70 years
of complications.
Exactly.
All right, so you're on this trip and you're excited because you're going to cross into Jordan. It's a thrill. Yeah. Who's on the trip with you?
On the trip with me, the way I was told would be on the trip with me. Palestinians,
right?
Israelis,
right?
Teachers who are joining forces together, basically to teach love and peace and love, or whatever it is,
right.
To learn how to raise a generation of peace and of love. And this is the Israelis, the Jews, and the Arabs are joining forces are together as
sponsored
friends.
By KAS, paid
sponsored
for by KAS. You're going to have this
KAS.
Trip, right?
Yeah. And of course, they cannot make it within Israel because then they would say, well, you favorite the Jews, so they would not make it in the West Bank because you say you favorite the Palestinians. God knows why.
So
they decided, we go to Jordan.
Right.
You know?
Although, oddly, when you get into Jordan, you're told that this is our last toilet break and drink of water because we're not going to stop for all the trips through
exactly,
Jordan.
Exactly.
Why?
Because they didn't go to Allenby Bridge and they went all the way to north, so you have to go a few hours this way, all the way to the north, and then come back to basically to the Allenby Bridge on the other side.
Right.
I mean, it's just like, it's like ridiculous.
Why wouldn't they let you get out?
Because on the way in Israel, while driving in Israel, you can stop every
right.
hour or two
right.
or whatever for toilet, for drinks, whatever, on the way back, because there are Jews on the bus. And if they stop anywhere and the people see Jews, their life is in danger.
And this is an ally of Israel,
this
Jordan.
This is an ally, yeah.
Now so that you have the cost presentation of who's on the bus, who do you discover is on the bus?
I discover that whatever basically they said, it's sorry BS, as they say it in proper English. It's the Palestinians that from Ramallah, from the West Bank, all of them are not there. It's a joke. And the Jews who are there are those kind of Jews who believe that the Jews are always wrong, the self-hating Jews kind
this
of.
This is
you know?
The left.
Yeah, this is the extreme left even,
right,
who believes that the Palestinians are sweet creatures and we, the Jews, are occupiers.
And German money is sponsoring
it. And German money is sponsoring it. And basically you have a lot of other NGO people, Europeans, who are on the bus presenting, you know, the Palestinian side. And basically you really don't have any Palestinian from the West Bank on this bus. It was a joke.
We're now introducing the solution to all of this. It is not Palestinian solution. It is not an Israeli solution. It's not Jewish. It's not Muslim. It's the question of Europe in Israel. That's the puzzle
yeah.
that Tuvia has taken on in his book. One more detail before we turn to it, because we're going to explicate in a moment. Through all of your travels, and the book is extremely episodic, and he quickly travels from the old city to Tel Aviv, to Haifa, back and forth. He goes north, he goes south. He visits everyone in Ramallah. He's always a German in Ramallah. And in Israel, he's a German, and they open doors. All of this, everybody has an opinion. They're all having opinions about what's going to be the future. These
yeah.
are Arabs and Jews.
Yeah.
The Germans don't voice their opinions.
The Germans are very... This is what's very interesting. The Europeans are doing it in a very smart way. They are presenting very well-dressed, very well-mannered, presenting themselves as people of Europe. There are some Americans also, by the way, who do that, who have come to the region to offer peace, to offer their advice, are to make the two sides love each other and a peaceful resolution of the conflict. While in reality, what they are actually doing is the exact opposite. That's what's frightening to see and watch. I mean, even you talk about the Kass trip to Jordan, whom did they give? They gave like this nice confirmation document of you are a peace partner. And I talked to the Jordanian peace partner, you know, and she told me this is the one who's supposed by Kass to be a real peace and love person. And she told me, for example, that the Jews killed Jesus,
right,
that the Jews have no right to live anywhere, basically.
Tuvia Tenenbaum, Catch the Jew. When we come back, how many NGOs are there in Israel and Palestine? I'm John Batchelor. This is The John Batchelor Show. I'm John Batchelor. This is The John Batchelor Show. Catch the Jew, Tuvia Tenenbaum's book, is funny. This is high comedy, however. Underneath the humor, and there's a great deal of it, is a tragedy. And the tragedy is that for 70 years and more, we could date this back before the creation of the State of Israel. We could date it back to the Balfour Declaration in 1917. We could take it back to the 19th century. Certainly, there are centuries of conflict in the Middle East. But we're focusing now on post-World War II Europe and post-World War II Middle East since the creation of the State of Israel. There are tragedies that you must get to to understand why the conflict that we see all the time in the headlines with John Kerry traveling to make peace with people talking of the two-state solution, why that is so fixed, why it doesn't move. Administration after administration, doesn't matter the president, right wing, left wing, it stays the same. Tuvia takes us into the world of the NGOs. We've talked about CAS, a German NGO. You also go to a briefing by the IDF, and you learn there are hundreds of NGOs operating in Israel and in Palestine, West Bank and in Israel, dominated by American NGOs, but second is Germany. Did the IDF recognize this was an important fact?
I asked them to tell me. I spoke with the IDF and the intelligence arm of the IDF, Israel Defense Forces, Israeli Army. And what they told me is that from the anti-Israel NGOs operating in Israel and in Palestine, or West Bank, whatever you call it, the biggest one is Germany and German, and the most money comes from Germany.
Right. So the American NGOs are funded privately.
Americans, there are American NGOs, but there is also another thing called an arm of the American government. It's called USAID.
Right.
This is the funniest place. I mean, Americans are so naive in this business, which is like amazing. There is like a village, for example, with about five little houses. And the USAID, American government, has built a six-lane road to that village. It's like they think they are in Utah. I mean, it's like just a waste of money. But anyway, the European NGO, this is the saddest part of the story.
The European NGOs, and first time I ran into this, I didn't know what I was seeing. I will tell the story to Tuvia now. It was 2003, 2004. This is the period where the siege of Bethlehem was on headlines around the world because Palestinian terrorists had taken over the Church of the Nativity, and there was a siege, and they were surrounded by the IDF, and there were killings every day. There were threats to burning the Church of the Nativity. I arrived with my colleague and took a taxi to the staging area and got in an armored vehicle and went right into Jerusalem Square. And I thought, what is this? This is war. I was wearing a jacket. I called my father up and I said, what have I wandered into? And he said, if it's a mess, it's a war. So I turned around and I walked through this building where the IDF was staging, the Golani Brigade, as I recall. And they were giving briefings, and the BBC was asking hostile questions, the usual, the drama, you understand, yeah, don't you? And I looked up on the wall, this wrecked building that had been trashed in the conflict. It was courtesy of the Queen of, and I think it was Sweden or Norway or the Netherlands, one or the other. And I thought, what is this? What is happening? And I realized through your book that the Europeans have purchased this conflict, this frozen conflict.
Mm-hmm.
They've poured money into this for 50, 60, 70 years.
It's like unbelievable. Wherever there is a Jew living, if there is a Palestinian, if there is a Palestinian area and there is a Jewish area, and you are Palestinian, if you say you are willing to live next to the Jews, they will build a villa for you, free of charge. European governments, even Catalonia does it. It's frightening. Everyone is in this business, and they build a villa for you in order to make sure that the Jews do not, God forbid, spread more into the desert.
Right.
So wherever they can find a spot, and you are willing to live, the European government, the EU, will put money, build you a villa. This is like, take an example of Yad Vashem, which is the Holocaust Memorial Museum. The Europeans, the EU, is funding trips for young Europeans who come to Israel to Yad Vashem.
Right.
Looks like an honorable thing. But guess what they are doing? They are hiring a Jew, a self-hating Jew, a guy, Itamar, who calls himself from the beginning an ex-Jew, who takes you, these Europeans, the teenage Europeans, takes them into Yad Vashem and tells them what you see is from the point of view of the Jews. It doesn't mean it's true. It's subjective. It's not objective. What is objective, it tells them, is that the Israelis are killing Palestinians and there is a Holocaust going on in Israel committed by the Jews. This he does in Yad Vashem. When you leave Yad Vashem with these teenagers, you saw all these dead bodies, all your eyes can see. It's such an amazing propaganda.
Right.
You think the people, the dead people I saw in Auschwitz are Palestinians that have been killed by the Jews.
Let's go to Palestinian,
this is amazing.
Palestinian Independence Day, because remember, this is Tovi the Arab, the Lawrence Tovi of Arabia. And so one day he gets a call from Jibril, his pal, his bosom buddy, says, come with us on Palestinian Independence Day. So you rush over to this beautiful hotel with flowing gardens. I can hear the lights are on the shrubbery outside, right? And it's beautifully watered.
It's beautiful. It's like
and there are
five,
German,
seven-star
vehicles everywhere.
New ones, everything.
The food is smashing. It's very difficult to get into that place.
No, but this is very, very interesting. It's very interesting that you mention it. If you go to West Bank today, they take you, NGOs take journalists, or the media, the European and American media, always talk about the poverty. Right. In the West Bank, right. In the Palestinian area. But they take you only to the poor neighborhoods. It's like me, if you come to New York and I take you to Red Hook, you know, and that's it, and you think this is New York. I went there. I went with my wife. We went together for Easy. With my wife, we did the trip together. And we walk into those places. You'll not believe gorgeous. Not just Ramallah, Jenin, Bethlehem, Jericho. It's like amazing beauty. All put down by Europe. They pay money. Guess what? In the old city of Jerusalem, the EU has paid over 2 million euros to reconstruct a hammam, a spa. Why? In order to prove Palestinian heritage in the country, basically the Jews have no right to be there.
Jibril invites you to Palestinian Independence Day. Yeah. You think you're going to drive in a car. You pile onto buses. It's a staging for an opera.
Yeah.
This is about going to a place called Berlin, where there used to be conflict between Arab youth and the IDF, having to do with the wall that was being built. It's no longer there, but they still use this as the staging area.
Of course.
You are unaware that you're about to become part of the play.
No. Not for a second did I think about it. You know, Jibril said, we are going to be Palestinian Independence
Day. But you're Tovi of Arabia, so he thinks you're with them.
Yeah, of course.
And what do you see?
So,
At one point,
Palestinian flag, and I walked around.
A Palestinian flag. They sell you, there's merch at this. They're making money.
Merchandise,
right. But someone tries to give you a mask for...
Yeah, they sell you a mask. It's an amazing,
what's the mask for?
For the... canisters for the tear gas canisters of the Jews.
So everybody gathers around. There's even music. They play music. They play Arab music.
There's an imam.
You don't know what's about to happen.
I have no clue.
This is being staged by the Fatah.
The only thing I know Berlin. There was a movie about it, if you remember, which was Oscar nominated, you know, in 2012, I think. It's called Five Walking Cameras, which got amazing reviews in the American media as well, showing the atrocities committing by the Jews. So that's all I know about.
You're standing there, and some very attractive Arab youth, Palestinian youth, who have very good right arms and probably got very left arms, show up, and there are 10 IDF soldiers who are obviously about to be drafted into this drama.
Exactly.
They know what's about to come. So the stones begin, right, with the music play. What happened?
First of all, you have to get... First of all, the media comes.
Right.
The ones I saw, for example, Sky News, for example.
Oh, they set their cameras.
They set cameras. Nothing happens before. They bring them. The Palestinians bring the camera. It's like amazing. It's beautiful.
Right. And the Palestinians are the cameramen.
Of them are like foreign media. That the Palestinians bring them with cars.
So they get good angles on
this. You see, this is what Jibril Rajoub does. He gets this money for the Olympic Commission or whatever, and he takes people from overseas. He puts them in 5-7-star hotels, I would call them, in the most beautiful hotels, and then he takes them to demonstrate.
So the stones start, the IDF doesn't do anything at first, then the stones intensify,
and then the IDF doesn't do anything yet.
And
so firebombs.
Firebombs, the IDF defends itself with gas canisters.
Exactly.
And of course, Tobi the of Arabia is standing there where the first gas canister lands. Here's my transition. So you're staggering around, sick to your stomach. You're looking for assistance. So they guide you into a Red Cross ambulance that's sitting by. He does not know, does Tobi the Arabian, that he's just stepped into the biggest, most powerful NGO of all.
Yeah.
The International Committee for the Red Cross.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I discovered about the Red Cross was one of the most amazing things. I mean, the ambulance was a Swiss gift, you know, of course. And what was amazing about that is during this Shabab Shabab, meaning the youth Palestinians who throw stones, right. And the Israeli army.
The
imam goes and he prays, and the prayer goes like this. Ala ma'akum uktulum, ala ma'akum uktulum, ala ma'akum uktulum. God is with you, kill them. God is with you, is the Shabab, the ones who throw the firearms, kill them is the Jews. This, for example, was not in the movie, Five Walking Cameras.
And you are sitting in the ambulance and you're trying to recover from the gas attack.
Yeah.
You're being helped by the Red Cross, which is part of the staging,
because the people are
being wounded. However, we're going to turn now to what that Red Cross ambulance represents. Remember, I told you that CAS, the powerful NGO from Germany, is staging events. Now we've shown how the Palestinian leadership stages events for the cameras of Germany. Now we're going to show you the most powerful people in all of Jerusalem, perhaps all of Israel. As Tovia says, they are King Herod when you ride in the streets. That's the Red Cross. The book is Catch the Jew. Tovia Tenenbaum is the author. I'm John Batchelor. This is The John Batchelor Show. I'm John Batchelor. This is The John Batchelor Show. Tovia Tenenbaum. His new book is Catch the Jew. In Germany, it's Allein
unter Juden.
Allein unter Juden. And in Hebrew, it is
Tfosta Yehudi.
This is simultaneously,
which means Catch the Jew.
Simultaneously a Laugh Riot bestseller in Germany and Israel. We can hope that that means that both the Israelis and the Germans get the joke. Because the joke is on Germany and the joke is on Israel for regarding each other as separate states with a tragic past. No, it's not tragic past. It's a current complete confusion. And the confusion is the NGOs apparently run the West Bank entirely. Do you understand? The West Bank is entirely a transfer fund. That's what it is. All of it. It lives very well. But there are no products. There's no agriculture. There's no development. There are no IPOs. All of the money flows from the NGOs and their attendant organizations like the UN from Europe. And the most powerful of all, I learned from Tovia, is the International Red Cross. Did you know this when you went there?
I didn't know much when I went there. I didn't even know where I was going to.
But
I
the mean, International slowly, Committee of Red Cross has a great reputation.
No, I mean, look, what did I know about the Red Cross, the ICRC, as it's called officially? I thought the Red Cross is a beautiful, you know, Swiss people with a beautiful white ambulances, white vans.
Extremely good linen.
You know, chocolate.
Right. Switzerland. We know. Where the cuckoo clock
the good
comes
people.
From.
Right, they are the angels. Right, that's what I thought. So I wanted to join them.
Right.
I went to Sheikh Jarrah, where they are, and we went one day, for example, to Jenin. And I could not believe my eyes or my ears. The Red Cross, which is the one that made the decision, basically, that the 1967 borders, the 1967 line, is occupied territories. The Red Cross, which is the one for the Geneva Convention, everything about Israel today, legally in international law, has to do with the Geneva Convention, especially the Fourth Geneva Convention. The author of that is the Red Cross.
Right. They determine that the light tram that runs in Jerusalem is a violation of the Geneva Convention, right? Because it runs into Palestinian territory.
So whatever it comes to international humanitarian law, which is IHL, you know, is basically determined by the interpretation of the Red Cross, of the ICRC. They are the ones who interpret it. They are, legally speaking, they are the guardians of the...
The way I read your presentation of them, they strike me as the referees in medieval battlefields where the knights would appeal to the referee as to whether I can continue to fight or whether I was vanquished by my opponent. Yeah. They'd ride around with Red Cross trucks and you say, Red Cross cars, nobody touches them.
Nobody touches them. They are above
the
law.
Not at the checkpoints, nothing.
They are above the law. Right. They are above the
law.
They
run in and out.
They run in and out.
Now, let's go inside. Let's open the door. Okay, yeah. This is Toby of Arabia or Toby the German.
Exactly.
Open the door. You walk in. The Red Cross, they're not Germans. You're going to be a little disappointed here. The board is entirely Swiss. Who are they?
All Swiss, according to the regulation of the ICRC, nobody who is not Swiss can be in the decision-making body, the assembly, called the director, the board. They are only Swiss. If you're not Swiss, you cannot be on the board. And number one. Number two, their decisions-making process is known only to them. There is no system of check and balances. Whatever they decide, these Swiss people, you know, I think it's 25 of them, whatever they decide is the policy of the Red Cross and determines what international humanitarian law, basically what human rights is or not. If Israel violates IHL, it's because the Red Cross made that interpretation. That's how strong it is. This is a kingdom, a dictatorial kingdom.
They're in a position to continue the provocations, to continue the conflict, to feed it with their rulings.
Exactly.
Are they aware of this? Do they talk about their
power? Of course they are aware of it. They love it.
Right.
They are the kings and the queens of the Middle East.
And
they're
representing Europe? How do they see themselves?
The UN takes their resolutions. Whatever they decide.
So they're more powerful than the UN?
They're more powerful than the UN because they are deciding everything. And so I went with them to look. This all I learned very fast and I couldn't believe it. And then I went to see, who are they? Well, since I'm German, they can tell me.
Right. They remember, I am German opens all doors.
I am German opens all doors. Torbido Deutscher.
Yeah.
And this is what I learned. This is given to me, by the way, black on white, in animal. There is one country, only one country, that does not observe international humanitarian law, does not observe the Geneva Convention. Only one country. The name of the country is Israel.
Wow.
This is what they write to me in an email.
So they're obsessed.
Of course they're obsessed. And I saw them. I went to a refugee camp, so-called refugee camp in Jenin. I don't know why you have Jenin. You have Jenin and you have a refugee camp in Jenin. It's all governed by the Palestinians. There's no Jew around here. By the way, Palestine, West Bank, is actually a state. The name state is Palestine, and you can see it all over wherever you go, Palestine. And this is the only country in the world, just so you know, that is Judenrein, meaning no Jew can walk there.
Juden free. Yeah.
No Jew can walk there, and if a Jew walks there, you'll meet St. Peter.
The Red Cross tells you candidly that it has determined, these 25 board members from Switzerland,
this is what
they have determined that Israel is in violation of, and then they run down the gamut.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, Putin is not in violation of any human rights.
Right.
You know, I mean, Bashar Assad is not in violation of any human rights, as far as we know.
We don't deal with civil wars in Libya.
Forget China, forget all of them.
Because the good German hotels are on the West Bank, perhaps.
Exactly.
Yes, they live heartily. Now,
and the other things, they are teaching the people that the occupation started in 1948, meaning the establishment of the State of Israel. We are not talking anymore about 67 war.
Right.
We are not talking anymore. This is what you get.
Catch the Jew, Allein der Juden.
Allein unter Juden.
And
Foster Judy.
A bestseller in Israel.
Did you like it?
It's very funny. I was trying to convey the fact that, and we couldn't mention the cats. There wasn't time.
Yeah.
But the heroes of this story are the three cats, their pictures, in the backyard of Tovia's house. And I expected at the end that the cats were going to start to laugh and talk to Tovia as he sat there in confusion. But that remains to be seen in the sequel. Catch the Jew. Tovia Tenenbaum is the author. I'm John Batchelor. This is The John Batchelor Show.